hear the word of Christ. The Apostle Paul writes this, "For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Oh God, I pray that that would be what we are latched to here. That would be who we are connected to in everything that we do as a church. It would be about Jesus Christ, the Savior King, the Messiah who rescues, the one who died for our sins, has been raised up, promises us this vast, eternal kingdom where all of our needs will be met, where everything will be restored because our sins will be forgiven. God, may we latch all of our thoughts, all of our hearts would be latched to the gospel today. God, we look at the world around us and it is swirling out of control. It is coming apart, and yet we have a foundation here and His name is Jesus. God, teach us to be latched, connected to Him during this time. It's in His name that we pray. Amen. Over 4 years ago, my family and I, we moved to Richmond, Kentucky. We went through the process of selling our house in Lexington that we had lived in for some time. We were outgrowing the house and we needed another house. It was probably built for like one kid and we were up to six and they were all sleeping in one room together, I think, at one time. And so we needed a new house, and it just so happened the work here in Richmond was going on at the same time. And so we moved out here. During the time we were looking for houses, we were excited. We hadn't done that in some time, and we were looking for the perfect house for our family, for our kids. And we finally found one. We were excited about where we live now. But when we decided to purchase that house, little did we know all the craziness that would ensue in our lives in light of the previous owners of the house. As we were in the, some of you have heard some of these stories, you're already laughing. As we were in the process of purchasing the house, I got a call from the owner at the time and he invited me over. He wanted to show me everything about the house. And my real estate agent said, "I don't know if you should do that. I wouldn't do that." And you know me, I was like, "I think I'm going to do that." I wanted to see the house. I wanted to know what he thought about it. I wanted to know the ins and outs of it. It got kind of weird at times, but he invited me over one night and walked me around the house. And he spent hours just showing me the trees that he had planted and telling me, "You know, if this tree starts to die, this is what you should do with this tree. I'm going to give you some notes about this tree." It was those sort of things for like 4 hours. He taught me how to build a fire in the fireplace downstairs. He taught me how to light the gas logs, and I still hadn't figured that out. We haven't lit the gas logs in 4 years, but he showed me. If I called him now, he would tell me how to do it. He told me how they managed the electricity bill. He told me they were able to give to their church because of the way they managed the electricity bill. And here's what I should do with the windows. And here's what I should do with the attic fan. And if you do this, you'll save 35% on your electricity bill every month. And it was all over the house, the carpet, the walls, everything went through the whole house. And then we got to the hot tub. Some of you have heard this story. It was all fine, but then it started getting kind of weird. He told me how to manage the pH balance in the hot tub. He filled it up for me and said, "Now this is what you need to do when you fill it up. And here's how you know, this is what you need to put in it. And this is the strip that you use. And if it's green, if it's red, and if it's yellow." And he's going through all of this. And he said, "Let me tell you what will ruin this hot tub." This man, 70-something years old, is standing there with him and his wife. He says, "What will ruin this hot tub is clothing." I'm standing there with my six kids, and he says, "For 10 years, Margaret and I have used this hot tub, and we've never worn clothes in it." And I'm thinking, we're about to get a bobcat and pull that hot tub out of here. But it was so weird. It was so, what do you say at that point? Hannah, you were baptized in that hot tub, wherever you are. But it was some of the most awkward. We get a call about once a month from these folks asking how the house is. They own the land next door, and so they come look at the land every now and then, and they just walk through our yard just to look around at what we've done to the place. And the first time they came, I know they were shocked that we had a batting cage hung in these precious trees where we practice baseball. But I never realized how weird and awkward that whole process was going to be and still is. And we come to this section in 1 Corinthians, and we sort of think that's what Paul's doing. Is he's looking back on a church that he planted, on a house that he built, and he's trying to nitpick, and he's being nosy about the preachers who are there, the leaders who are there, and what they're doing, and how they're carrying out the business of the church. And Paul should just mind his own business, is what many in the church are saying. Paul, you've moved on. This isn't your ministry anymore. You've moved on. And yet, as Paul looks in as their former pastor, and he sees division, and he sees immorality, he realizes something eternal is at stake. And he realizes that the church is building on a faulty foundation, and if they keep moving in the direction they're headed, they will no longer be a church. And he instructs this church how to build, how to think about the house, how to think about the, first of all, foundation. And in verse 10, he begins by saying, don't assume the foundation of the church. Don't assume the foundation. He says, according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. And he says, let each one take care how he builds upon it. He says, I came in and I planted this church. I preached the gospel. And it was all God's grace that I laid the right foundation. Everything you see now in the church was about God. God was the one who was giving me grace and mercy to do things right in the church as we started out. He says, I came in and planted, established the church. Someone else is now building on it. And he says, let each one who now ministers in the church take care, notice, how he builds. He says, make sure you don't forget the foundation. You are building on something that is essential. The foundation is where it all begins. And you can't just take off with that ministry and build something that doesn't fit. You can't just take off with that ministry and not latch it to the foundation that was established. It won't work. It will hinder the ministry. The ministry will fall apart. And we have to stop and realize Paul's not the pastor who left the church, who's looking back and saying, oh, they're just doing things different now. I don't like it. They don't care about what I did there. This isn't petty and this isn't personal with Paul, because notice verse 11. He says, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which he laid, he says, by the grace of God, which is Jesus Christ. He says, the foundation I laid there was Jesus Christ by the grace of God. He describes Christ as this foundation, just like Peter will in 1 Peter. Christ is the cornerstone of the church. He's the first stone that is put in place, and everything else is built out from him. All the angles of the building are determined by him. He says, you can't have anything else in the church apart from Christ. And so I don't care what you do from that point on, don't assume the foundation. Can't go back and lay another foundation or you'll have something different. And as you move forward, don't assume the foundation. He says, we now have these super apostles there. They're telling you the gospel is all about power. Follow Jesus and you'll have health and wealth and everything will be great for you. Or these pseudo apostles who come in and they're preaching the gospel, but it's all about the way they preach it. It's their resume. It's the books they write. It's the glitz. It's the glam of pastoral ministry. And he says, as you move in that direction, if you forget the foundation, you're going to become something other than a church. I mean, we don't assume foundations, right? You're not sitting in this room going, this is a great foundation. This concrete, I love it. Love the way this concrete was poured. Andrew Howe must have done this. No, you're here and you're assuming the foundation, right? Some of you are building houses right now and you love the foundation because that's all that's there. You invite your friends out to the land and go, you've got to see this footer. It's amazing. Look at this concrete. Look how we dug it. Look, it's nothing. And you love your foundation right now. But then you'll have a floor, and then you'll have walls, and then you'll be inviting people out and say, look where we're going to put the bathroom. Look at the stairs. And you'll forget about the foundation. You won't go home today and watch TV and go, I just love my foundation. I love the foundation of this house. And Paul says, no, we've got to be careful in the church that we don't do the same thing about Christ. That we don't sit around and go, of course this is about Jesus. We say Jesus all the time. And the more we say Jesus, miss me, the more we care about Jesus. He says, no, you can get involved in assuming Jesus and being a part of a church. You can think this is a church, this is the way we've always done things. It's got to be about Jesus. And he says, no, be very careful that you don't assume the foundation. You've always got to go back to the foundation. You've got to latch everything to the foundation. We do that every week as a staff. We get together and we say, well, let's think about what we're doing and make sure this is about Jesus. This is latched to the foundation. Is this ministry stable? This isn't stable, but is this ministry stable? Is it worth the while? Is it latched to Jesus? Is this song stable? Is it latched to the foundation who is Jesus Christ? And what we see from that is all kind of ministry comes about because of the foundation. It's one reason we talk about the offering every week. We say this isn't about paying bills. This isn't about paying God back. This isn't about keeping the lights on. We say things like that. Why? Because it's easy in your giving to assume Jesus and forget this is about the gospel. God gave to me, so I give to others. But we don't assume it, even when it comes to something like frontline ministry. Hey, your ministry is about Jesus. You're not just generic greeters like at Walmart. No, you, when people open the door of their car, are there to remind them about Jesus from the moment they walk in. This whole thing has got to be about the gospel. And when we preach the gospel, when we're about the gospel, all kinds of ministry comes from the foundation. Think about adoption in the context of our church. We don't talk about an adoption ministry. We talk about adoption culture. Why? Because we want kids rescued from around the world because of the gospel, not just because it's a good thing. And some of you parents here today who have adopted will realize if it's just a good thing, it will be miserable. You've got to be latched to the gospel. You've got to realize I was a spiritual orphan and God rescued me. God was gracious and kind to me. I want to reflect the gospel in the context of my family. I want to help others reflect the gospel in the context of their family. I'm not just helping them out. This is about the foundation who is Jesus the Christ. But it's not just in church. You realize the reason some of your lives are so unstable, back and forth, your emotions are out of control, you're content one day, the next day you're thrown into anxiety. It's because you're assuming the foundation. You walked an aisle, you said a prayer, you go to church, and you just assume it's about Jesus. And Paul says, don't move on from the foundation. Go back to the foundation and say, look, Jesus is great. I can't do anything in my life without Christ. I can't think about anything in my life without Christ. Some of you are trying to build upon Christ and you're adding all of these things that you do, thinking it's better than the foundation. Look at all these other things that I add to the foundation. And Paul says, no, don't assume the foundation. It's Jesus Christ. Notice he continues. He says, now if anyone builds on the foundation, which is gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, these are all things that are added to the building. They accent the building, but they must be latched to the foundation to last over time. Now, a lot of people come to this verse and they try to point out what these things are. That's not what Paul is doing. All he's simply saying is some of these things will last and some of them won't. You have leaders in the church who are preaching the gospel and they're pointing people to Jesus and their work will last, and you have some that aren't and their work will be burned up. Notice he continues verse 13. Each one's work will be manifest. It will be displayed. The validity of what you do for Christ in the church will be seen over time. For the day will disclose it. Times, trials, ministry, the long haul. Ultimately, you will stand before Christ and be judged for all that you do in the context of the church. Notice he continues, because it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. And if the work that anyone has done built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. Notice what Paul's getting at. In the context of the church, you will be judged for your ministry. As pastors, as leaders, what is it about? Over the long haul, is it about Christ? It will be lasting. You will have a legacy of people who love Jesus, who follow Jesus. Jesus will make sure to take care of that. But if it is about you, it will be burned up. It will be wiped out. And ultimately, you will stand before Christ and give an account for all you do in the church. If anyone, verse 15, their work is burned up, he will suffer loss. This is scary here. Though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Now, that's a scary warning for pastors. You know what that means? That means I get to go to heaven because I believe in Jesus, but my ministry could be lost because it's not about Jesus. And Jesus will make sure to take care of that. If I preach about Jesus, but it's really about me, Jesus will take care of that. You will suffer loss even though you escape. Even though you escape. You can do ministry for Jesus that's not about Jesus. And he says here, you will be evaluated for that. And so the question is, what are you building? What have you given your life over to? Is it making you known even in the church, or is it really about Jesus? This is why it's so counterproductive for us to just preserve one sort of style of ministry or program in the church. Because you know what happens? The style and the ministry and the program become central and you forget about Jesus. And how and what you do becomes more important than why you do it. And the style, ministry, program becomes irrelevant at some point. If you're in your house and you make the kitchen central, the kitchen foundational, before long you're going to lose the kitchen and the foundation. You have nothing left. He says if your goal is to preserve your preference or ministry style, it will fade away and you will be left with nothing before Christ. That's scary. This week I saw a church and its billboard said, "Church the way it used to be." I thought about that and I said, or are they talking about the New Testament? The way it used to be? Back in Jesus' day? Because isn't that what we're all going for inside a certain culture? And I know what they meant by it. They meant church when we used to wear short ties and long dresses. And we used to sing with a piano and a hymnal. That's what they mean. Church the way it used to be. Do you realize church the way it used to be in the New Testament? They didn't have pianos. They didn't have short ties and long dresses. So what do you mean by that? Because 50 years from now, church the way it used to be is going to be church wearing flip-flops and singing Chris Tomlin. And so what do you mean by that? And my point is, every style at some point fades away. Even programs you have in the church fade away. And if that's what you're clinging to, that's going to deteriorate and be gone. And you lose your style, your program, but you also lose Jesus. And at the end of the day, you're left with nothing. It's one reason we just try to be basic around here. Just basic. Preaching, missions, the ordinances, simple ministry. So we don't want the foundation to get lost. We want to always be able to see it. Look at the floor. It's great. This floor is not great. But look at it. Look at Jesus. He's the foundation. Let's don't move so far away from Jesus. We're not spray painting the cornerstone. No, we want to see it. Look at it. It's awesome. It's great. Everything derives from it. We want to make much of the foundation. And everything else around it can change. We can remodel the kitchen. We can change the curtains. We can do a lot of things differently, but the foundation remains the same. The question is, what about your life? Do you ever think what's going to be left when you're gone? Just memories about you? Nice testimony about you? What are you latching your life to? What is central in your life? Is it your family? That you just have good family time, have family reunions, you have just family. That's good. We do that in our family. We love our family. We make a big deal about our family. But we also realize family's temporary. And it will move and change and be different. It better be about Jesus when those kids leave home. It better be about Jesus when they're not at every family reunion. It better be about Jesus, or you will have an empty house and nothing to show for it. Or you can have a house that's empty, and you can have reflections of Christ's glory all over the world, and your family and your kids are spread out for the sake of the gospel. What is central in your life? If it's not about Jesus, you'll be left with nothing, and you will give an account for that. And so Paul continues this. He says, I want to make clear what exactly you're building, verse 16. Don't forget whose house this is. He says, do you not know that you are God's temple? Think about that. That's how he describes the church. God's temple. This place where people were struck dead in the presence of God. This place where the holiness of God dwelt. And you couldn't just come in lightly. You had to have your hands and body washed with blood. You had to have a sacrifice to come in and worship Him in His presence. And he says, that's how serious the identity of the church is. That's God's presence in the world because of the death and sacrifice of Christ. And he says, do you not know? Think about what you're building and the care that should go in building God's temple, and that the Spirit dwells in you. The Bible is a story of God's presence from Genesis 3. Man is shunned from God's presence. The rest of the Bible is God's presence tracking man down. And so we see the people of Israel in the wilderness, and they have the tabernacle, which represents God's presence. And then they have the temple, which represents God's presence. And he says, now the temple, because of Christ, who called himself the temple, is the church. That's where the presence of God is in the world. It's in the church. And so be careful about how and what you're doing in the context of God's temple. Notice he continues. If anyone destroys God's temple, notice this, God will destroy him. That is some serious language. Paul's saying here, if you destroy the church, God will destroy you. That's what he says. If you seek to build in the context of the church according to your agenda, what you want, your preferences, if you enter the church and your goal is to rip it apart, tear it down so people think you're great, God will destroy you. God will reveal your intentions, your motives. Maybe not in this lifetime, but you will stand before Him. It's a scary thing. Even this week, I've read James 3:1 a lot. That a teacher will endure a stricter judgment. You realize that? James says, not many of you should be leaders and teachers because you will incur a stricter judgment. He doesn't say, not many of you should lead in the context of the church because you're not good leaders, because you don't have a good personality. He says, no, think about what you're doing because you will stand before God for what you do to His church. God's church is what will last forever. People from every tribe, every tongue, every nation before Christ gathered together worshiping Him. And so as a leader, you will be judged about how you lead the church, God's eternal program, His eternal people. They're precious to Him. Not just teachers, it's everyone in the context of the church. It's scary when you think about the way that we so easily gossip and slander. We don't mean anything by it at times. It just sort of, hey, it just comes out. And what we're doing is saying, hey, I'm just a little bit better than them at things. I know just a little bit better. When I used to do that ministry, we did it this way. Or I would do it this way. Well, I don't have time for that anymore, but if it were me, I would do it this way. And what you're saying is, join me, join me. You're nipping. And what Paul is saying here is you're dealing with the very presence of God. Even if it's over orange juice at Connect Point. This is God's church. Do you want to divide over that? God takes that seriously. This is His presence. This is His plan on earth. He says here, this is where the Spirit of God dwells, and you don't want to squelch or quench the Spirit. Sometimes we read that verse in Ephesians and we think about it, worship. When we're in worship, we don't want to distract others. We don't want to quench the Spirit. No, what he's talking about here is unity. You don't want to mess the foundation of the church up. You don't want to mess the stability of the church up. This is God's priority and plan in the world. Should caution the way that we interact with the church. She calls us to ask the question, what are we doing to build the church up? What are we doing on top of the foundation that God has set for us? It should also cause us to see all of this as a privilege. It's a privilege. You know, this week in our country, you're left just sort of dry and parched. You look at social media, you look at the news, and you just get tired of it all. You get so weary. It wears you out. And what God does week after week on a Sunday, it says, no, come into my presence. My presence. Look around. My presence is here. People who are indwelt by the Spirit of God, who come together. And how do you know the Spirit of God? They love one another. They serve one another. They encourage one another. They build up this temple of God. Ask yourself today, what is your life about? Are you building on the foundation? You know the reason some of you doubt your salvation today? Because you're building on something other than Christ. Your emotions? I don't feel like I'm saved. Where your salvation is not about your emotions. Your works? I don't do enough for Jesus. Where your salvation is not about your works. It's about the foundation, who is Christ. What are you building your life on? And how are you reminded of that? In the temple of God. In the presence of God, who is called the church. We need to be more nosy about what's going on in the church. Not like the people who owned our house previously. But we still walk around and go, look at this tree. Look at all of these things that we get to be a part of. Look at all these things that we're building. Look at all of these things that God lets us get connected to. Is it latched to the foundation? Is it going to last when I'm gone? And be delighted that God allows us to be a part of it.